Shall we open our Bibles to Psalm 37, verse 3? Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. I'm sure this is a verse that is familiar to many of you who have been in the church, who have been reading this Bible quite regularly. Psalm 37 is a very favorite psalm of many Christians. The first two counsels that we have, trust in the Lord and do good, constitute what I would like to call genuine piety. Genuine piety is not just making a confession, but living by that confession about God. The entire life is molded and guided by our faith in God. That's genuine religion, genuine piety. And such a genuine piety is enthusiastically encouraged here. And so we are told it's in such clear terms, trust in the Lord and do good. There is no room for doubt as to what is said here. In absolute clarity, the Word of God says, trust in the Lord and do good. Now, I also believe this encouragement given to us by the psalmist is an excellent antidote to dull and bogus piety that characterizes a large number of Christians of our time. True piety is not cold and impassive. It's vibrant. It's vibrant in its belief and in its operation. It's not cold. I think I believe this. Something like that. Yeah, I don't bother very much, you know, good enough to know this is what it is. It's something like this. That's not what faith is. Faith is absolutely sure. When somebody asks a question about what you believe, you will say it in clear terms. And when somebody else makes that statement about the faith that is genuine and true according to scriptures, you feel like saying, hallelujah, here is another man who believes the truth. It's very vibrant. And not just that, it is always looking for venues to express that faith in God. It doesn't matter whether it will be favorable times or difficult times. Faith will always be alive and ready to express its confidence in reality, even in adverse circumstances. Nothing stops genuine piety. A truly believing person wouldn't say, well, if everything goes well, then I will come to church. Even if nothing goes well, he's going to come. He would not say, if everything goes well, then I will give my offerings unto the Lord, or I will serve him. No, he said, he will say, whether it's sunshine or rain, I shall love my Lord, and I will serve him. That's genuine faith, and that's genuine piety. A man of genuine piety, first of all, is one who trusts the Lord. Trust the Lord. That means with unwavering faith. A man of piety will rely on the Lord. His heart is fully fixed upon the Lord. No half-hearted belief, but wholehearted belief. Ask yourself, have you grown in your faith? Yes, your faith may sometimes be assailed or attacked by the devil, and sometimes doubts may come, sometimes despondence and disappointment may come. Now, it doesn't matter. Actually, when all these things come, our faith will be stronger. I say, no matter what, I will continue to trust God. You can trust, you need to learn to trust Him in all circumstances, you know. When we were young, we were very happy to trust God because everything is going well for us. Now when we are old, I remember visiting an old lady many years ago, and she was quite an active lady in the church. She loves the Lord, she greets everyone when she comes. She was not rich, nonetheless she was able and willing to do whatever she could do, and she was very rich toward God. But when she became weak in her legs, she couldn't walk, she couldn't hop onto a bus to come to church, and there was nobody to fetch her, so most of the time she would stay home. And when somebody brings her to church, she feels very down and very disappointed, because she can't contribute anything effectively to what is going on in the church. So one day when I visited her, she said, "Pastor, I think God is very upset with me. I think the Lord is disappointed with me." I said, "Why?" "Because I have nothing even to give for the offering. The offering bag comes, I give nothing. And I can't do anything for anyone. Everybody must serve me. That makes me very sad. I don't think I should come to church because I make everybody work for me." And I saw the sadness in that heart. Then I said, "But Andy, don't you believe that God loves all His children, whether they are weak or strong, young or old?" She said, "Yes." "Then you shouldn't doubt Him. God doesn't love you because you are perfect in health. God doesn't love you because you have much to give Him. He loves you because you have nothing. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You admit, 'Oh Lord, I got nothing, but you still love me.'" You see, my dear friends, it is not that you are so well equipped or well provided for that makes you a child of God's love. His heart is fixed upon you, for He knows that you are poor and needy. And it must be our joy to trust Him, even when everybody hates us. Who can separate us from the love of God? If God is for us, who can be against us? You see, no adversity should ever drive us away from the presence of God. In fact, adversity should push us closer to God. So the closer you get, you will say, "Oh my soul, trust Him." You will rebuke your own soul like the psalmist did. "Oh my soul, why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God." And this is what true piety is all about. It will not let its own heart to lose confidence in God. So a man of genuine piety will have his heart wholly fixed upon the Lord. In the midst of adversity, hostility, calamity, he continues to trust in the Lord. Because he knows, as Paul said in Ephesians 3:20, he is able to do exceeding abundantly. He is able. So let our minds cling on to the Lord. Let us refuse to give up our faith in Him. Please. 1,000 voices may rise against you and compel you to give up your faith. Your own soul may whisper in the heat of the battle, should you continue to stand up for God? Is it not better to give up? You say, no. My Lord says in His word, trust in the Lord. Trust Him. You've got no other option, O soul, but to trust Him. And trust Him now. Trust Him now. No point just saying, I did trust Him last week, but I don't know whether I trust Him now. Some people say, I trust Him now, but I can't talk about tomorrow, you know, I may give up my faith. No, don't say that. You seem to have lost your focus on God. Come on. Rebuke yourself. Rebuke yourself. If you give up your faith, then who do you have in heaven or on earth? Tell Him, increase my faith, O Lord. Help my unbelief. Cause me to trust You. Don't give up. You know, we sing a hymn. When I fear my faith will fail, Christ can hold me fast. I fear I cannot trust Him, but I still know my Lord will not give up on me. You see, He can't hold on, but He claims that God will hold him up. And that's what faith is. Faith is not about your strength. Faith has nothing to do with how confident you are about your own faith. Now that's charismatic word movement. False faith. They say faith is that you have faith in your faith. I don't know what it means, but they know. But I tell you what faith is. Faith is, I know God cares for me. I know God loves me. I know His word cannot fail. I know because I trust Jesus, He will never forsake me. I'm safe in His hands. So this is genuine piety. Genuine piety has nothing to do with your physical condition. It has nothing to do with your inheritance in this world. It has everything with your absolute conviction that your Lord is faithful and just. He will never abandon you. He will never forsake you. So what happens when you have trust, such unwavering faith and confidence in the Lord? You will confide in God all your problems. You will confide in God by prayer all your problems. You will not just keep mumbling and murmuring and questioning His truthfulness and faithfulness. I have sometimes seen some poor Christians. I said poor not because they are poor in material terms, but poor because they are struggling. They seem to barely hold on to God. And they will ask questions that sometimes I think would Christian dare to ask. They will ask, where is God? If God loves me, how come I am in this situation? They have a range of questions. I know they got the answer. But the problem is they don't see it visibly being answered in their material world. You know, they are sick and they ask God to heal, but they are not being healed. So they ask, where is God? They wish that the dear ones will come and visit them and look after them and encourage their heart, but nobody comes around. They are alone for many years. So they, where is God? God don't even send my children to visit me. And it seems that my pastor also forgot me. Maybe he thought I'm buried. Nobody seemed to know me. Now, You see, they are in such a situation where nothing that happens around them seems to show that God does care for them. Job was in such a situation. If you read the book of Job, Job asked so many questions to the point that his friend said he had no faith. But Job didn't give up, you know. If you really read carefully what Job said in all those chapters, it was not just a philosophical and theological argument and debate with God. You remember, everything he says, he addresses to God. That means he still believes there is God. And once he said, though he will slay me, yet I will trust him. And that's a big statement. He thinks God is systematically, you know, killing him. Moment by moment, he is being slaughtered. That's how he feels. And just imagine what happened to him. He was a rich man. Everything was going well for him. He was greatly commended by God even before Satan. Remember that? When Satan came before God, God said, have you seen my servant Job? There is none like him. He eschews evil. He is perfect. God said all these things. But then the devil asked permission to test his faith. Oh boy, there starts all the problem. All his wealth were taken away. After that, his health was taken away. Then, of course, before that, his children died. And then his wife looked at him and said, why don't you curse God and die? What a wife. Supposed to be a helpmeet, but now she helps to die. And the friends came, supposed to be spiritual counselors. Everything they say make him so miserable. And he wished they would shut up their mouth and keep quiet for a while. And he has been telling God, I hold on to my integrity. Lord, judge me. Show me where I've gone wrong. And then the friends would say, you know what? If you have been good, this wouldn't happen to you. You have swallowed the house of the widows. You have taken advantage of the orphans. That's why all these things happened to you. But those are the things that he never did. God didn't answer him until his chosen time to reveal things came. You know how God answered him? Firstly, he said, look at the nature. Look at the little ants. Look at the creatures. Look at the dew on the leaf. And after that, he said, look at Leviathan, Behemoth. Those are huge creatures like dinosaur. So the Lord said, yeah. You don't see anything in your world that I'm at work. But I'm not dead, Job. Did you see the ant? Did you see the spider? Did you see all those animals and birds? Did you see the raindrop? Who brings that down? I'm still alive. You know, my dear friends, when our Lord Jesus was here on earth, when the disciples were very concerned about their well-being, physical well-being, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus told them, look at the birds. Learn from them. Look at the flowers. Learn from them. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added. Stop worrying. I test your faith. Allow adversity and calamity to come in your life because it's a time for you to prove to me that your piety is genuine and sincere. Blessed be His name. So in your adversity, confide your troubles to Him. Go to Him. That's what trust is. Trust Him. When you face hostility, call on God to protect and guide you. Amidst calamity, wait patiently for God. Patiently wait. That's faith. Faith is not a sudden surge of nice words you say about God. Faith is patiently waiting, refusing to give up your confidence in God. And patiently wait for God to help and deliver. Please remember, one who trusts the Lord will fight. fight against fears. He will fight against anxiety. And he will not allow any of these things, such as anxiety and fear, to overcome his soul. He has nerves of steel, as it were, in times of perplexing situations. Refuse to give up. You will be like a strong, iron sheet. You can hammer it hard, as hard as you can. You may bend it a bit. You may cause some twist and turn in its shape, but look, it won't crack. Well, if you cling on to the Lord, your faith will not suffer. It will refuse to give up. And you will say, I trust in a God who is sovereign. Who said so clearly, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. So in my troubles I shall remain trusting. Secondly, such a faith that refuses to die and keep itself alive by looking to God in most hostile situation can't help but to become stronger. And when it becomes stronger and stronger, it spurs that man on to do good. Without faith, you cannot do the good that God wants. Now, the good that we are supposed to do is not the good that we like to do, but what God has ordained. Now, I'm sure many of us know that we are not saved by works, but by faith. Right? We are all saved by grace of God through faith. And it's clearly taught in Ephesians 2, 8. And when you come to Ephesians 2, verse 10, there is a very great truth that Apostle Paul stated. And this is what he said. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. So we are saved not by works. We are saved by grace through faith unto good works. And watch, these good works, Paul says in verse 10 of Ephesians 2, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. These are the things that God has planned. So you see, doing good is not just doing what normal people would do. Doing good is to know His will and doing it in the power of God. It is designed by God. Now we all must know that serving God is not a human affair. If you remember the two young boys, Abel and Cain, the two boys of Adam and Eve, they both came to worship God. They both came to worship God. They both seem to have worshipped the same God. But Cain's offer of worship was rejected by God. But Abel's, God accepted. According to Hebrews chapter 11, Abel offered by faith, whereas Cain out of unbelief. So you see, it's not that we did something for God as we like that matters, but we do it as God wants it to be. You remember when King Saul took the animals of the Amalekites, and he actually took it for himself. And when Samuel the prophet came around, he said, what is this bleeding of the sheep? He said, oh, you know what? The people wanted to bring this back and wanted to offer it to God. So I said, it's okay. But actually, God said, don't bring anything. Destroy them all. But he pretended to offer to God. So what did Samuel say? It is better to obey than to sacrifice. You see, so what is the good that God wants you and me to engage in? No, not the creation of our own mind. what God wants us to do. Now you say, oh, you see, pastor, or you see, preacher, that's exactly my problem. I want to serve God, but I dare not. What if I make this mistake? What if I'm not able to go any further? What if we will come up with a lot of excuses? Why? Because we lack faith. You see, if you don't have faith, you cannot serve God. Please do not think that God will only ask you to do things that are within your means. He can ask you to do great things after making you very poor and weak. You remember Apostle Paul? He had a thorn in the flesh according to 2 Corinthians 12. He asked the Lord 3 times to remove the thorn in the flesh. What did the Lord say? My grace is sufficient. And then Paul said, if that's the case, then I rejoice in my infirmities. When I am weak, then I am strong. You see, my dear friends, God doesn't need you to be physically strong to serve Him and do good works. The only thing that He wants you to be strong is your faith, unwavering faith in God. Trust Him. The little boy who gave his 5 loaves and 2 fish to the Lord knew jolly well that that cannot feed 5,000 men. Boy, hungry men, can you imagine? But he gave it to the Lord. God has not called us because we got the potential to be what God wants us to be. We got nothing. But it is His pleasure to call us. And then He work on us. You know, that's why Paul said we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. You are really a lump of clay, good for nothing but to tread upon. But He, the master sculptor, takes that lump of clay from the ground. He takes it. He puts it in His hand. He applies the right pressure at the right place. He molds it. He gives shape. And then He steps back and says, here it is. I've done it. All that you need to do is to cast yourself into His hand and say, Lord, create within me a clean heart that can offer acceptable sacrifices to You. I cannot serve You with unholy heart. It is the good work that You would call good that I should offer. Now, my brothers and sisters, please understand this, what I'm trying to say. Faith will not leave you in anything that will make God unhappy. You want to get out of it. You want to walk with God. You want to talk with God. You want to do what He wants you to do. You want to be a collaborator with God. And to be with God and to walk your life with Him, you got to have a very clean heart, a good heart. And that is created by God in you. And when your heart is really fixed upon the things that God wants you to do, when you pray to Him, when you are molded by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, you will automatically know what God wants you to do. Unfortunately, as I told you a while ago about the poor lady with whom I had a conversation, who sort of refused to believe in a loneliness and weakness that God is able to use her. Many are in the same situation. I cannot blame these people why they struggle, because life is a struggle. In order to do good, firstly, you must ask the Lord to forgive lack of faith. Even a godly man, even the best of saints, sometimes suffer diminishing faith. Our faith can be under attack. You know, just to illustrate this point, Abraham came out of his father's ancestor's place, like the place of the Chaldeans. But when he came to the promised land, there was a famine. Without asking God, he went straight down to Egypt. He almost lost his wife to Pharaoh. And he even told a lie about Sarah. What happened to that man of faith? He is the father of all those who believe, isn't it? But even Abraham suffered lack of faith, which resulted in almost losing his own wife to Pharaoh. You see the danger of it? Sometimes we believers are in such situation. And so I say to you, please remember this. God has called you and saved you to be doers of good things even until the last minute. But sometimes we are not able to set things forward in the righteous way, in a more effective way, not because God has abandoned us, but our faith suffered a bit. So get yourself strong in faith. Strengthen your faith. Be strong in the Lord, please. Refuse to give up on the fact that the Lord loves you. Let everybody tell you God also given up on you. Even if your soul would say, give up, enough, you rebuke. No, God will never go back on His word. You know, my dear friend, I'm not bothered by what kind of situation you are in. It may be very gloomy and dark. But please remember, you are the light of this world that Jesus said to you. You are not the light because you are light in yourself, but you have Jesus Christ who said, I am the light of the world. He cannot but shine. If He is in you, you must shine. So He said, not only that I am the light of the world, but He also said, ye are the light of the world. Now believe this. You see, you are a little candle, a small candle. Now does it matter? You being a lit candle is placed on a golden holder or a wooden holder or a clay holder. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you are a lighted candle in a dark room. Why do you despair whether you are held by a golden holder or wooden holder or clay holder? Praise God that you are a candle that Jesus has set to shine. That's all that matters. Would you not believe that your sickness or your financial problems or your strange circumstances would not destroy you? It will not take away the powers that God has given to you to shine for Him. You still have the knowledge of God's word. You have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Just be filled with the Holy Spirit. For Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter you are a strong man with muscle or no man, or a man without muscles. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you're a young man or old man. God can use a young man like Daniel or Joseph or David. God can also use an older man like Caleb in his old age. Now, of course, as an old man, you may not be able to do things that a young man do. But then you have an experience that the young man doesn't have. You have an experience faith. God has given you what it takes you to be a blessing. And so let's sing that beautiful hymn that we often sing, "Make Me a Blessing to Someone Today." That's genuine piety. Genuine piety refuses to die. It refuses to become inactive. It refuses to be fruitless. Trust in the Lord and do good. Now, yes, you're weakened. You can't go window shopping. You don't go around jalan-jalan, right? You just sit somewhere. Most of the time you may be on the rocking chair or maybe lying on the bed. You can't do very much. But then you see you've got all the time not to be distracted from praying to God. Pray like never before. Pray with all your heart. Rejoice in His presence. Pray for your family members. Pray for the pastors and preachers you know. Pray for the churches you know. Pray that God's work will continue to be strengthened. And from your rocking chair or from your poor sickly bed, let God send a revival. Or on your sick bed in the hospital, give a smile to the doctor who come by and give him a tract. Maybe he will be saved. Or if you are a Christian, if the doctor is a Christian, pray for him. Take his hand and say, "Doctor, I'm praying for you that you will be used by God, not only to heal the bodies, but also the souls of some people." Pray for the nurses who come by. Give a smile and cheer the heart of your relatives and friends who come by. Now, believe this. As a Christian, you are called not only to believe, but also to do good. Look for every opportunity to be good. Be good to your mate. Be good to your bosses. Be good to your neighbors. Be good even to your enemies. Feed your enemies. Just like Christ. He did good to all. Overcome evil with good. Look at that. Overcome evil with good. Sometimes we say, I don't know why I must do all this good to these people. They never do anything good to me. Everything they do is just to trouble me. Enough, I'm not going to help these people. That's how we get tired of doing good. But overcome evil with good. This is genuine piety. Trust God in all circumstances. In the midst of adversity, calamity, and hostility, and say, "Lord, cause me to shine for Thee. Let Thy goodness fill my life and let it overflow me." That's exactly the promise that follows these two exhortations that we just had. What does it say? "So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Wow, what a promise. If you trust Him, and if you give yourself to do that which God requires of us, He says, "You will dwell in the land, verily thou shalt be fed." You know, those who trust in God and do good are His delight. God takes great pleasure in helping those who trust Him. He will establish them by providing all things necessary for them to grow further in their operation of faith and service. I mean, how can God say, "Trust me and do good," and then don't help me? He knows I've got nothing to be good. Absolutely nothing. Jesus said, "He can do nothing without me." So I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to abide in Him by faith. And He will do every, He will give me everything necessary to do the good that He wants me to do. Now, if He doesn't give me seven things, then I believe that's the area I shouldn't be going in. I just focus on where I have to, where the Lord give me strength. You see, now I'm a preacher. I can come here, go there, and the Lord give me enough strength to move about and preach. And this is my third message today. Some Sundays I preach even four and five sermons. And I'm very glad to do it. But I know I'm slowing down. There was a time, even after preaching five messages, I can still go on maybe to preach another five. That's how strong I was. But nowadays, after two sermons, I'm almost collapsing. My health is not getting better. But maybe in another 5 years, or maybe in another 5 days, who knows? Maybe in another 10 years, I won't be able to preach. It could be just me and my wife. Or who knows? Maybe a few more. And that's my sphere of my piety. Piety is not dependent on how big I am, how extensive is my influence. Piety is that where the Lord appoints me, I be the best for Him. And how to be the best for Him? By trusting Him and doing what He wants me to do. You see, piety is not a thing that is to be determined by comparison. You know, you compare me with Ekwi. You say, I hope Ekwi will be like Pastor Koshi. Please don't say that. Pray that Ekwi will be Ekwi as God wants him to be. Of course, as God wants him to be. I cannot be like Reverend Timothy Toh. He had a very special circumstance in which the Lord called him. He served the Lord faithfully in his generation and gone to be with God. My generation is a different kind. My challenges are different. My gifts are different. Or my talents may be few. But I'm not to be bitter about any of these things. Each one shines in his little corner for the Lord. Some are called to be David. Some are called to be Jonathan. Some are called to be Nathan, the prophet. But everybody is important in God's kingdom. So, my dear friend, find out what the Lord wants you to do. If it is God's will that Blessed Hope BP Church has to come up in this manner and serve Him, believe this. God has a purpose. And I'm going to serve God. Now, you may have certain imaginations, certain ideas of your own. But God may not grant it to you. It may not be the way the Lord wants. You know, sometimes certain people come to my church and say, oh, Pastor Koshi, I'm so glad I heard a lot about you. And I'm very convinced I heard your message this morning. It's amazing. Oh, what can I do for you? I said, brother, slowly, come again. Let me see. Oh, they don't like it. The moment they praise me, they think I should immediately make them elders. You know that, and a very unrealistic expectation of things. There is a way you do things. You prove yourself. And in God's good time, all things will be there. Now don't think that because you are here, you need to be honored by given position or put you to chair the meeting and announce your name as the next candidate for session. No, this is not. If that's what God wants for you, it will come in its time. Nobody can stop you. King Saul cannot stop David. David will be the king in his appointed time. Neither should David grab his throne by killing King Saul. He waited. Every man must know, in his time he makes all things beautiful. But let's remain with genuine piety. Do what the Lord wants. If you want to give a cup of water, and that's the good that the Lord wants you to do, do it with all your heart. And He will give you the power to do it. So, brothers and sisters, let's seek the mind of God. to know what He wants us to do. No matter how simple and how unnoticed those things that we do may become, God never forgets. He will reward every man according to what he has done for the glory of God. Our God is a wonderful paymaster. The world may not reward us for the good that the Lord causes us to do, but He will, because we are not doing our own things, we are doing His will. Remember I told you, the good is not about what we think to do, it is what He tells us to do. So if you do what He told you to do, He will reward it. He will never forget your labor for His name's sake. So let us praise Him for these words that He taught us today. Remember, trust in the Lord and do good. He will establish you and He will feed you, and you will be strong to serve Him in the days to come. May God's presence be with you and the labor of this church, that you may continually flourish for His glory.